2018 birthdays for Jesus. That's a lot of birthdays. They're remembering the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but remembering God the Son from everlasting to everlasting. So the world still celebrates, and if you follow missions a little bit, the celebration gets a little louder, a little more boisterous, a little more, more and more people keep pouring into the birthday party, you might say, in terms of people who receive Christ. But for the past 2,000 years, how did God battle sin in the world since Jesus was born? How did God battle sin for the last 2,000 years? One time Jesus said he could call an army of angels from heaven and wipe out everybody who was against him. He said that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Psalm 2 says, Lord, smash the nations like pieces of pottery. Psalm 7 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 9 says, O Lord, strike the nations with terror. Now, those judgments of action God has taken at different times throughout history. And when Jesus returns, he will wipe out all sin once and for all. R.C. Sproul once said, man is very, very bad, and God is very, very mad. And that's true in terms of the sin problem that we have when we go against the Lord. And in Bethlehem, the Lord could have sent flames of hell, but he didn't do that. He sent his Son. How does God defeat sin today? At the birth of Jesus, God didn't send wrath. God didn't send justice. God didn't even send fairness. Today, God defeats sin with good news. With good news. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of anybody, for the rescue of anybody who believes. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That was the message from the Apostle John. And I need my clicker. There it is.
Not my clicker. Kirk's clicker.
But we got the first good news here. God could have sent the flames of hell to Bethlehem, sent his Son Jesus instead. Remember that as you take the news of Christ to the world. Final score, light. 1 trillion victories. Darkness, zero. That's a Bible fact. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not overcome it. It seems like sin has a lot of victories. Depends on which side of life you're staring at, I imagine. And even in our own soul, we feel like, oh, sin seems to have won the day. But when Jesus comes, sin doesn't win the day. And despair doesn't. Darkness doesn't. And eventually pain won't. And certainly death won't. So to keep that good news perspective in front of us, real important. Jesus shines in the darkness. Darkness has not overcome him. Maybe a parallel verse would be where sin increased, and certainly there's sin increase in the world, you know, and Paul saw that in his lifetime. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So you have rebellion against God and sin and pain and everything that goes with it. And then you have the goodness of God being shown all the more, the gift of God. God wants us to trust that truth, even when we look and say, well, it seems like, things are going real bad. Just a simple illustration, and it's meant to see the difficulty of sin, but also the goodness of God. Say, starvation physically is a horrible thing. And too many have little food or go without food worldwide. I don't know what the stats are, but way too many. And mostly because of mismanagement of the resources God gives us. It's been said that there is enough food in the world that everybody can have a 3,000 calorie a day, input. That's a lot of donuts there. And the reason is we don't know what to do with it. And so it gets it gets wasted. So let's say way too many people, 100 million people will pass on this year of lack of what they need, man's mismanagement. But at the same time, 6 billion, 900 million people are going to get fed. 6 billion, 900 million will be fed by the grace of God. And he gave them 6 billion, 900 million enough to feed the other 100 million if we ever get our act together and follow the Lord that way. So the light shines in the darkness. Darkness has not overcome it. Where sin increases, grace increases all the more. So we give the Lord credit. It's good to look at this from some other translations. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So you look for that in your life. Heard a fellow say this morning, you know, some of the times of deepest joy, looking back, not in the present, but looking back, some of the times of deepest joy, peace, seeing the strength of God when he was in horrible despair and pain. And right when God carried him through that valley of death, he said, oh yeah, you know, his goodness and mercy are following me. And he anoints my head with his own fellowship, with oil. So where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. And here's a good one, Amplified Bible. Where sin abounded, grace super abounded. You can put that in your vocabulary, you know. Super abounded. Before Superman was invented, grace super abounded. And Living Bible personalizes it. Because, you know, one good teacher said there's a priority of the individual over the methodology. I thought, well, that's a bit deep thing. In other words, what God does with an individual life is always more important than, you know, the methods we use. The importance of the individual over the methodology. When we see our sin, God sees that too. And the more we see our sin, the more we see God's abounding grace forgiving us. Oh, we know our need at that point. God does respond to the desperate heart. If any of us are desperate at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday, sometimes we only get desperate like Friday morning. But for God to say, oh, we need him. And think of the free gift God gives us. The light came. This is an old-time preacher put it this way. Jesus was given without reluctance from God, without reluctance. Nobody had to twist his arm. Okay, there was not one trace of unwillingness when Jesus came. Jesus, the power of God for salvation, did not come because of human excitement. Come on, Jesus, we know you could do it. Did not come because of human excitement. Jesus did not come by people gaining knowledge. Wouldn't you like to know a little bit more about God? We can figure him out and then we'll let him change our lives. Jesus did not come by people's explanation. It was a surprise to everybody. Mary and Joseph, you know, we don't know if we can make it. We don't know if we can make it in our relationship. We don't know if we can make it to Bethlehem. And Jesus certainly did not come because of people's good works and obedience. Okay. The light shines in the darkness. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. You have a trust for that gift. Trust for that gift. Anything in Jesus you don't find trustworthy? You kind of saw some flaws in him, maybe? Asked somebody that the other day. They couldn't come up with anything. I was glad. He's faithful and true. And one old-time preacher put grace's battle with sin, Jesus' battle with sin, good news overcoming sin, this way, the banner of grace waved over the battlefield of sin. What exactly changed your life? Where sin was fought, grace did the fighting. Light did the fighting over the darkness. Jesus did the fighting over the problem. Bethlehem is where sin abounded. There was no room for Jesus. Caesar Augustus was apparently in charge. That wasn't good. Young couple walked 90 miles to pay taxes. That's not good. You think your April 15th is bad? Herod would try to kill Jesus and kill many other children while doing it. But grace abounded in Bethlehem, a rescue mission for the whole world. In the valley of death, the light had dawned. Wonderful Counselor comes. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now that's a friend we need. And of the increase of his rule and of peace, there would be no end. Jesus' rule seems to be stronger as the years continue. That's, you know, if we have eyes to see, of course. Matthew Henry put it this way. There's no end to the increase of Jesus' government. Him ruling in a heart and him taking good news over sin. No end to the increase of Jesus' peace. He can give me more peace than I had yesterday. The heart of God is much about the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And God's zeal will overcome all opposition. And at Calvary, too, there was a place where sin abounded in Jerusalem. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was abandoned. Jesus was crucified, dead and buried. But where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. All the more. There were people come to Jesus even when he was dying. The thief, the soldier. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. Jesus promised the most desperate, today you'll be with me in paradise. When Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin, he is risen right there outside of Jerusalem. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And again, looking at something from last week that just expanded a little bit. Because I think it's an example of light overcoming darkness with an imperfect illustration. Again, in our country, which is not, people aren't rushing to church as they do to Kohl's necessarily. It was at Kohl's Friday. It was a little crowded. But still in America, say, you know, casually interested about in the Lord, 52 million people will worship Jesus on an average Sunday. 52 million. How many people do you think attend a professional sports event in the course of a week, average course in a week? This would be National Football League games, baseball in October, still going on with football, NBA and hockey put together, and throw college in there even, you know. How many people do you think attend those games on a weekend? I mean, you got the cameras, you got the commercials, you got the marching bands. I mean, you got a lot of hoopla. You got a Let's Go Pitt t-shirt or whatever you wear. And about 4 million. 4 million tops. Pitiful and pathetic. Versus the hungry group that goes to worship Jesus. 52 million. Okay. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness has not overcome it. I'm not saying sports is the darkness, but just a comparison. You dwellers of in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Okay. Still King of Kings. Looking back in our own personal lives, many of us lived a life where sin abounded. Sin abounded. Charles Spurgeon said, the biggest sinners become the biggest saints. I don't know if you qualify for that. But there was some kind of lot of darkness or sin in your life. He said this, I think I got this one. The devil's captains become Jesus' generals. That's a good line. You might have been all for, you know, self and sin for a while. Occasionally forget about the Lord and still are. But then, when you remember the Lord and when his light comes, okay, he disperses that darkness. And it's a motivation for being thankful and for serving. Surely you wouldn't serve God with less heart, knowing he's the King of Kings, than you served yourself in sin before you knew the Lord. I mean, before I knew the Lord, I was 100% for sin and self. I was all out. I was like radical self. Okay? Surely I would serve Jesus more than I served myself. Make some kind of wholehearted effort to surrender to Him, love Him, put Him first. You know, a lot more than, who is this guy that I followed there. So, your life is now for the King of Kings. And you'll have a super effort of obedience where grace abounds. All the more there. Greedy people become generous. God does that. Hateful people become loving. Light comes. Weak people become strong. Angry people become peacemakers. That's a good one for culture. Angry people become peacemakers. Immoral people become faithful and true. Lukewarm people become prayerful. That's a good one for churches. Lukewarm people become prayerful. Prayerful. We tried 3 nights of prayer. We kept striking out 3 strikes, so we take a break. We said, Sunday night we will gather to pray. No, it didn't work. Wednesday night we will gather to pray. No thanks. Friday night we will gather to pray. No thanks. We're running out of days. Okay, there's only... We don't want to... Lukewarm people become prayerful where grace abounds all the more. Where sin abounded. And so selfish people become serving people. Because the light shines in the darkness has not overcome it. There are sinful nations where tens of thousands turn to Jesus every year. I didn't look at the U.S. We're probably at a plateau, or maybe going, like, not so many turning to the Lord. Still people turning to the Lord. I think, if I remember, and this is not a lot, say 50... A little bit more than, this is a small number, 50 a day. And so you had to do the math for a year's worth. I don't think I have that, no. I picked some big countries that you wouldn't associate with people coming to Christ. China, India, Russia, Iran, and Vietnam. Okay, in the past 10 years, this is the light shining in the darkness not overcoming. In China, each year, about 1.5 million people turn to Him. 1.5 million. So Ravi Zacharias says he thinks China is going to lead the way, taking good news to the Middle East. That could be. Maybe they have access to that. India is the most aggressive country in coming to Christ. And it's not because the culture is saying, we think everybody ought to follow Jesus. It's just, the light is just shining into the darkness of the dark land. 5 million people every year come to Jesus in India. Russia, hard-headed Russia, 1 million people a year, in spite of, you know, government rejections and so forth. Iran, which is really not a Jesus-friendly land, 15,000 people a year come to Christ. And then Vietnam, just full of, you know, violent, bad leaders, 200,000 coming to Christ per year in Vietnam. Now, I was thinking, if sin abounds in our country, won't grace abound all the more? If God could save people in a big time out of communist China and Hindu India, can He save a lot of people in secular America? I think so. That's what we pray for, right? The light shining in the darkness, and darkness not overcoming it. And even in our lives, you know, for sure in our lives, where there's darkness, where sin seems to be in charge, we say, well, if sin seems to be in charge, God will come, and He will rescue me and my sin-blinded soul. Because He's the light of the world. Darkness will not overcome Him. And where sin abounds, grace will abound all the more. So take heart. The light of the world is Jesus, and we're glad to rejoice and follow him. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father in heaven, for good news that the Apostle John wrote. He didn't write anything about Bethlehem, nothing about the shepherds, nothing about the angels, nothing even about Mary and Joseph's adventure. But he said, nothing existed without this one, without the Word, without God the Son, without Jesus. And he's the light that brings life to everybody, from Erwin to China to India to wherever we live. And so might you shine through the darkness of our own soul, Lord, and please shine into friends and loved ones all around us. We know you do. We're thankful you came to seek and to save what was gone or lost. And so we know where you're headed today, to seek and to save the lost. Might we see ourselves as a part of that really good work and continue to clean up our own souls so we might shine more brightly for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close with the Everlasting God chorus, if you'll please.